Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the reading from the lectern. We have come together here in final regular morning chapel worship here in the current academic year. As we look back over the past months, we find that we have much for which to be grateful. Certainly for the spiritual strengthening that we have regularly received in this house of God and the worship which has gone on here. And you students have particular grounds of gratitude for the privilege of having been able to study God's Word in related subjects intensively and over protracted periods, as have student bodies, predecessor student bodies, for a century and a half. Last fall, we were reminded of this as we concluded the 150th anniversary celebration of this seminary's existence and service to the church. And certainly we all look forward to proclaiming that word which we have studied. You graduates, as you assume your pastorates, you vicars, your assignments in the congregations across the country, and all of us as we have opportunities to communicate the truth during the summer months and beyond. And assuredly, we want to be able, like the Jerusalem apostles, to be able to speak that word with boldness, courage, conviction, and with the attendant blessing of Almighty God upon what we say. Therefore, on this occasion, let us, like those apostles and led by Peter and John, the rest with whom they gathered, utter the prayer heavenward, grant, O Lord, that we may speak your word with boldness, and grant us the attendant blessing that you will provide for such dedicated testimony. Now, our text takes us back to an incident which occurred early in the life of the Christian church born on Pentecost, namely to the healing miracle performed by Peter and John under God on the cripple, lame from his birth for 40 years as he lay there at Jerusalem's temple's gate. And when the people saw the miracle, we read, they came together in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And Peter took the opportunity then, spokesman for the two, to tell them about the Jesus who had been crucified on the first Good Friday, but who had risen from the dead, by whose power this man had been made whole. And this Savior was alive and was offering forgiveness of sins to all who would repent and acclaim him as their Redeemer. And we read the report, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000 beside women and children. However, this also was part of the account in Acts. As they spake to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and priests in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. The next day, Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin and asked about their activity. Peter said, filled with the Holy Spirit, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The report continues. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. And then come the words of our text read before from the lectern. The apostles go to their own company. The other apostles and Christians gathered with them, and they raised their voices in prayer, asking that God would give them boldness to continue in their activity. And that prayer was wonderfully answered on the spot as they were filled with the Holy Spirit and kept on, as our text says, speaking the word with boldness. Now the question arises, how did these apostles come to be filled with that spirit and that boldness of proclamation about which we have just read in the testimony they gave? And the other companion question, can we expect in our ministries and our proclamation of the word to be filled with a boldness similar to that of the apostles? And can we expect the blessing of the Lord upon our labors in whatever way he decides to provide it, as did the Jerusalem apostles receive that blessing on their labors? The basis of what the Word of God teaches, our text and the wider context, I would answer these questions, the last ones, in the affirmative and say, yes, we can expect to be filled with boldness in response to our petition for this benefit. Note the following from the Word of God before us. First of all, we read that even the enemies recognized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. They had been instructed by him, we know, for 3.25 years throughout the time of his public ministry. They had received the promise from the Savior thereafter that when he would leave them, he would send them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would remind them of all things that he had taught them and lead them into all truth. Now, by the power of that Spirit, they were setting their minds on that Word of God and on the directive to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything the Savior had commanded, and were proclaiming his truth. They were saturated with the Word, and that impelled them to speak it forth. We cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard, the apostles declared. You and I would speak the word of God with boldness in our day and in our ministries. Like the apostles, we must set our minds upon the word of the Lord. We must be sure it is God's word that we speak, without admixture of human wisdom, human philosophy, speculations of one kind or another, the hallowing of traditions, and so forth, in the place of the word of God. And we must never bypass the whole counsel of God, which is able to build up God's people and give them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Boldness comes with saturation in the Word and its communication within the church. Secondly, we note that the apostles were filled with a burning love for their fellow Jews to whom they were preaching. They knew that but for the grace of God would they be going in unbelief. And they wanted to communicate the saving truth to their countrymen, as Paul did later on, who, whenever in his missionary journeys came to a new spot, he sought out first the place where the Jews were gathered and told them about the fulfillment of the messianic hope in the person and through the work of Jesus of Nazareth. And how he even said on one occasion, the words are recorded in the Epistle of Romans, that he would be willing even to be damned in his countrymen's sake if he could save them. Such love impelled him. Such love for the Lord supremely and for his fellow men constrained the apostles to be about their busy, active ministries. And so should we. If we want to preach the Lord's word with boldness and with the Spirit's blessing, have love in our hearts as prime motivation. Supreme love to God, to be sure, but love for our fellows in the faith and out of the faith. Paul also, and the other sacred writers of the New Testament, had a loving concern for the congregations to whom they sent their letters. Whether this was word of admonition or encouragement, whatever, they spoke the truth in love and then got across to the people, communicated, and they responded by the power of the Holy Spirit. The third thing that we note here in this account is that the disciples came before the Lord in prayer, asking for the blessing of boldness that they might continue their ministries unhindered. They didn't ask that the Sanhedrin should be punished. They didn't ask that their threats should be overturned. They didn't ask for personal protection even. They didn't ask for anything for themselves, but they asked that God would fill them with boldness to carry out his assignment of proclaiming the gospel truth. And their prayers were immediately and miraculously answered. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they kept on speaking the word of God with boldness. If you and I, like them, would speak the word with boldness, we must be men of prayer, asking that God, the Holy Spirit, would grant us this gift and that he would fill us with himself so that we can speak his word in season, out of season, without favor, but in love for the edification and salvation of other blood-bought souls. The wonderful thing is that the Savior himself gave us this assurance. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? What a magnificent promise. We may and we must rely upon the Holy Spirit, asking him in our prayers to fill us so that we can communicate his word with boldness, effectiveness, power, and God's blessing. So then, if we will follow these suggestions which arise from our text and pray not only on this day, but daily, grant, O Lord, that we may speak your word with gladness, the Lord will hear that prayer. It is offered according to his will. It is offered in Jesus' name. He guarantees us the gift of the Spirit as we follow his will, as we keep our minds and proclaim nothing but the word, and as we speak the truth in love. May God grant us all this Pentecostal grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all that your mind can do, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.